maybe we could turn the night to John chapter 12, and the Lord bless each and every one this evening, and we do give everyone a warm welcome in their service in the name of the Lord. I was looking at this drum here, and I just was thinking, you see that word, it says constabulary on this drum. Well, there was a fella who was driving me when I was in Africa from Harare down to Mashingo, which is quite a drive. It's a half a day's drive. And we're driving along in the car and we're heading to Mashingo, and he's taking me to preach. And he was flying along in the car, and here was the constabulary posted on the side of the road. And I'm sitting in the front beside him, and I turned around him and I said, "Look, there's the constabulary." And he bursted out laughing, and he pulled his card out of his coat, and he was a member of the constabulary himself. And he laughed, and I laughed. I tell you, I was traveling with the constabulary, you know, to Mashingo, and we reached the checkpoint. And they said a name for it in Shona language. This secret name was a secret checkpoint to catch these boys out. And he explained to me this name. They said it wouldn't say it in English. I can't just pronounce the name of the night, but it was a secret sort of a checkpoint. And they pulled us to the side and everything. And he was trying to explain them that I was a minister, but they got it in their head that I was a priest. And once they heard I was a priest, we were away right and quick. And they let us go quick. And he said to them, "Do you want the priest to bless you?" And they said, "No, you're all right. Send the father our greetings." They let us go on our way. Praise God. Well, I thank God tonight there's only one Father. Amen. That's the Father in heaven, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Praise God. Let's read this verse, and I won't keep you long tonight. Verse 32 of John 12. And I've preached many times in this before, and I just felt to preach this tonight again. Praise God. "And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me." Let's bow our heads. And we're going to remember Sister Karen McDonald. She's been took to hospital. She's had pains down her arm, and they took her into the hospital. We want to just pray, and hopefully it's just a strain or something. It's nothing too serious, that the Lord will touch her. Heavenly Father, we just bow before you tonight. In the lovely name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you this evening that there is only one Father, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory. Lord, we've come to praise you and worship you tonight. And Lord, we thank you for the songs we've been singing. We thank you for the worship we can have in this room tonight. We thank you for this place that we can come and meet afresh for you. Lord, we give you all the praise and all the glory. Father, we would ask this evening for Sister Carl McDowell. We would pray indeed that thou would touch her and that thou would minister unto her at this time. We would pray, Lord, that your healing hand of mercy would be upon her. Bless all the boys as well, in Jesus Christ's name. Father, we ask for all those maybe away in work or holidays. This time we pray you bless every one of them. And for those that's planning to travel away for a break, may you bless them and give them a great time and refresh them. In the name of the Lord we pray. Now, Father, this evening, inspire this, your word, to our hearts for the time this evening. And we'll give you all the praise and the glory. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated and praise God. I believe tonight that Jesus said here, Jesus is speaking here in chapter 12. And if you go back in the chapter, it says the Messiah teaches. Verse 23, "And Jesus answered them, saying, The hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified." Jesus Christ came into this world to be glorified, and Jesus Christ came into this world to go to the cross. He never came for the righteous, it's really true. The Lord never came. He's not a physician to the healthy. He's a physician to the sick. He's a savior for the sinner. And I often say it when I read Isaiah 53, this text belongs to the transgressor. And it does. And the Lord came to save the sinner, and the Lord came to heal the sick. And he says here, "If I be lifted up from the earth," and we know 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ was lifted up on the cross to save mankind. And that's why today we must point men and women to the cross. We don't point them to the lodge or an organization or denomination, but we point them to the cross and to the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. And he says, "Am I been lifted up?" This is all about Christ being lifted up. In John 3:14, this is about Moses. "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up." And we know that in the Old Testament, that God gave them a brass serpent, which tied Christ on the cross. And when they were bitten with a snake, and the snake bit them, they would die. But God said, if they look on this brass serpent, they'll live and not die. Amen. And as Moses lifted up the serpent on the pole, this brass serpent, as he lifted it up, and that was a type, the brass speaks of judgment always in the Bible. When you read a brass, you're reading of judgment. And Jesus Christ was judged for me and you on the cross. He wasn't judged for his sins, for he had none. But he was judged for our sins and for the sins of the world on the cross. And as the brass serpent was lifted up and you look at the brass serpent, you were healed. How much more can we be healed tonight through the Lord Jesus Christ when we look afresh to him, to Calvary? And I read this morning, I thought it was tremendous, that the greatest miracle is the salvation of the soul. I believe that with all my heart. When God saves a man and saves a woman, the job's done. And what group they're in, or where, you know, whether they come up in the rapture or after that, as long as they're saved, that's the main important thing. Now, we all want to be in the bride. We believe that. But not everybody will be in the bride. But even if you're saved, you're still saved. Isn't it wonderful? Isn't it wonderful to be saved? Of all our hope tonight, if that was it, it would be still wonderful. John 8:28 says, "Then Jesus said unto them, when ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am he. And that I do nothing of myself, but as the Father hath taught me, I speak these things." Jesus never preached of himself. He never spoke of himself. He spoke of what the Father taught him and what the Father showed him. He pointed us to Almighty God. And I tell you, the Holy Spirit today must point us to the Lord. It doesn't point us to anything else, only the Lord. Hebrews 2:9 says, "But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man." Every single man that will come, God will see it. Did you know there was even provision made for Cain?
Yes,
did you know that?
Yes.
Now Cain didn't come, but provision was made for Cain.
Right.
Cain had a choice.
Yes.
Just like Abel had the choice, and Abel made the right choice, and Cain made the wrong choice. And so is it today. Salvation is to every man, and salvation is to every woman. Now we know that God knows who's going to come, and God knows the ones that won't come, but we're not God.
Amen.
And we can't play God either. Do you know that?
Amen.
So we can't say who come and who not come. God can save the vilest offender.
Yes,
who truly believes that moment from Jesus, a pardon received. Isn't it tremendous the men God has saved over the years? Real drunkards. And real men, you know, when you think of that wee man, Sidney Murray. I tell you, he's some testimony. We Sidney Murray's gone on to be with the Lord. But we Sidney had some testimony, you know. Sidney was a real out-and-out drunkard. And Sidney's wee wife was a Baptist girl that was saved when she was only young and backslid. And the two of them was hooked on drink, and they lost a wee baby and everything. Nobody's ever heard the testimony. Tremendous testimony. And you know where Sidney got jailed, and wee Lily was up on the bridge to throw the baby over the wall, over into the water. And James McConnell, only a young preacher, wouldn't have been much more than 16 years of age. And he went, God told him to go up onto that bridge that morning. And there was Lily on the bridge, and he shouted to her, and he said, "I'll claim Sidney." And he was preaching in a wee meeting hall. I think when he was preaching, he was 18 at that point. And Said anymore, he got out of jail and come down, and he said, well, I got a cure in here. He'd seen all the men with suits, and they said, you will, come on in. And he got saved. And Sidney Morey was a raw recruit. After Sidney Morey got saved, when he was working, and let me tell you this, I know most of you know this, but it's good sometimes to go over some of these things, just to let you see the grace of God. Sidney Morey got saved, and Lily at that point still wasn't saved. And Sidney was a builder, worked on the sites and so forth, and he parked his van on a double yellow line, and he ran into the hardware shop. And he was looking for nails, wire nails. And there's a big long queue, and he was trying to ask the fella, have you any nails? And the boy said to him, brave and cheeky, just wait your turn. So eventually he waited his turn, and he's afraid of getting caught in the police parked to the double yellow line. And he waited his turn, and eventually when he got to the counter, the boy in the counter leaned away out over the counter like this, and he says, no, I have no wire nails. And Sidney closed his fist, and he near knocked him cowed with the first clip. He busted him. He gave him a full smack on the mouth, with the eye or whatever, but he gave him a clip. And he ran out of the shop and he drove home. And Lily says to him, Sidney, you can't perform like that now that you're saved. You can't do them sort of things. And we, Sidney, have you seen him? How many ever seen Sidney Moore? He wasn't a big fella, he was a wee man. But there's tight wee moths. Like the boy says, not the size of the dog. It's the size of the fight in the dog. Isn't that right? You should have said amen, you. Praise God, isn't it true? But Sidney went home and Lily says, Sidney, you can't do that now. If you're seeing fighting and all the kind, you're going to have to go back and apologize. And Sidney Morey went back to that man in the shop. It took guts to do that, didn't it? Say you were wrong. And then back into the shop, and when he got into the shop and got up there, the boy said, please, no more. Don't give me any more. He thought he was coming to give him an oar clip. And Sidney says, no, I'm coming to apologize. He says, I've only got saved. And that big man put his arm around him. And he said, is that right, son? He says, I'm a brethren man. Sidney Morey was 17 years with a brethren. And I'm going to tell you one thing tonight, and I'll tell it anywhere. That's where he learned to preach the gospel. For the brethren can preach the gospel. And I'm talking about preaching salvation. And Sidney was 17 years with the brethren, learning to preach the gospel. Then he got the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And he became a Pentecostal. And he left the brethren. But he still was able to preach the gospel. Only he had the bit extra zip, zip. Amen. But he was a great wee man. But God could save a man like that. A drunkard and a jailbird. Look at Paul the Apostle. Paul the Apostle was held the coat of those that stoned Stephen, but yet the Lord saved him. Never ever look at anybody and think to yourself that too hard a case for God. There's no case too difficult for our Lord. The Lord can save anybody. Never be afraid to witness to the darkest, deepest, dire sinner. For God in a moment can change them. God in a moment can deliver them. That's the power that's in God's word. Jesus says, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. This is God's one and only provided way. Any other way would be a perverted way. God's one and only provided way is the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no other way. God does not have to change his mind about his word. Like a brother praying, I think it was this morning, or saying, the gospel's still the same. And not only is the gospel still the same, but when you go into the book of Revelations, it says the everlasting gospel. Isn't that something? The everlasting gospel. Praise God. God can have only one way to do anything. His first way is always the way that he will do it. His first choice or way of doing anything remains always the same. If he changed to another way, then it was never God. God will never change another way. God's first way is the right way. Now when we stand here, many of us, we talk about the spirit of Elijah, we talk about it turning our hearts, that's to turn us back to this Bible. Yes. It's not for the worship of man or any of things. It's to turn us back to the Word of God. Our foundation is the Word of God. Our foundation is not an organization. Our foundation is God says. And it says, be careful how you build thereon. Amen. Like the old woman said, he ever went round the foundation. Boys, that was great. Did you ever go round the foundation? Thank God we have a foundation. Thank God tonight when the foundation of Satan versus the foundation of God, that the foundation of Satan's defeated because he's from the bottomless pit. And he has no foundation. But we're built upon a sure foundation, on a solid rock, on the revelation of Jesus Christ, made personal to every one of us. We're saved upon that tonight when you call upon the Lord. His ways are perfect, his word's perfect. And anything or anyone who takes or adds to it, or anyone that to God's provided way is wrong. You can't add to God's word. You can't take away from God's word. The cross is God. The cross is God. God's one and only way for mankind to be saved and redeemed. There's no other way. You cannot be saved by bypassing the cross. You must come to the cross to be saved. Now I know we're Christians tonight. And I know that. But we're always sowing a seed. Amen. There's children in this room and you're sowing a seed. You don't know what God will do with some of them. Some of them, me and you was once a wee fella and a wee girl that heard somebody preach, so hope we did anyhow. I remember only a wee lad. Boys, I don't know what age I was, but I remember it well. And down to the wee blue hut, there in Dromore, Big Ian Paisley came to preach, and boy, he could preach. And I remember him preaching. And should I ever go out that door this night, a voice said to me, you'll preach. And I laughed it off to myself, and I said to myself, I have some imagination, I'm able to talk to myself. And I remember Big Ian Paisley preaching. And I'm going to tell you tonight, there wasn't a better gospel preacher in this country than Ian Paisley. And that's the truth. Everybody in here knows that's the truth. Ian Paisley could have preached the gospel, couldn't he? He's a powerful gospel preacher. And I tell you, when the gospel's preached, there's power with it. And when the gospel's preached, there's a conviction with it. Because the gospel's God's message. It's the real message of God, the gospel message. That Jesus came to save dark, dire sinners. Thank God for that tonight. Romans 5 and 12 says, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Now let me read you this, and I do mention this phrase and these statements often, but they're so true. Sin is an outward spiritual attitude of rebellion, but towards God, which is expressed in outward acts of disobedience, and we're all sinners in this way. By our sinful lives, we rob God of the glory due to him. Sin is followed by three main consequences. There's consequences to sin. This is why we need a Savior. The first consequence is inward and spiritual death, or alienation from God. And Ephesians 2 tells us we were all aliens, drawn away from the covenants of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise. We were all once aliens, and the man and the woman out there that's not saved are alienated from God. In other words, they're foreigners from the kingdom of God. They're not in, so they're foreigners. But God's brought us now by the blood of Jesus Christ, and we've received the spirit of adoption. And we're the children of God, and we can say, I'm my Father. The second thing is the physical death of the body, and the third one is final and forever banishment from the presence of God to the place of darkness and torment. Christ came to save us from our sins. He took our sins upon himself. He died in our place, and he rose again from the dead that we might be forgiven and receive eternal life. Now, we cannot change nor alter God's word. It must not be so, changed or touched. This is the word of God, the book, this book. Revelation 22, 18, 19 says, for I testify unto every man that heareth the words of this prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the word of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. Isn't that something? This is a dark warning. This is a warning. And this is the warning to this age. This is a warning not to add to God's word. Don't try to add something in to get saved. And don't try to take away. Just take it the way the word of God says it. Just believe it the way the word of God says it. And accept it in faith. And the Lord will bless you. God has made a way, a perfect way. And we must walk right with it. Not trying to make it better. Not trying to take away from it. Or add anything to it. We must take it the way God has placed it. Anything else is wrong. We're not allowed to change it. We're not allowed to add to it or put our own interpretation on it. We must just preach it the way God's word says it. Look in Genesis. And God said in Genesis 1 verse 11, God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed and the fruit tree yielding fruit after its kind, whose seed is in its stalk upon the earth. And it was so. You see, God placed something in the universe, in the earth, which still remains to this day. But man in his knowledge, and man thinking that he knows it all, has fiddled about with God's seeds. And he's produced different types of hybrid crops. How many knows that's the truth? But the Bible says we're not to do that. We're not to mingle with the seeds and play about with what God's done. We're to keep it pure. And you know, I often said, when you breed the horse or the donkey, you've got a mule. But the mule, if you put a mule, a male and a female mule together, you won't get another mule. You'll get nothing. They cannot reproduce because they're not the original kind. They're hybrid. And God, we saw this morning, wants us to be born again of an incorruptible seed. That's the word of God. He doesn't want us to become, you know, and I'm going to say no names, but I belong to this or I belong to that. God doesn't want any of that. We must say, I belong to Jesus Christ. We don't belong to this or I belong to that. We belong to Jesus Christ. And we've received the spirit of adoption, so we cry, Abba, Father. Now, we can have beliefs, and there's nothing wrong with having beliefs, and we can have teachings, and all them things are part of the word of God. But ultimately, we are called Mrs. Jesus Christ, and we are the bride. Not Mrs. this or Mrs. that, but Mrs. Jesus Christ. Bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. We took his name. Isn't it strange today? I was mentioning this over in England, Brother Charlie's. But isn't it strange that so many people married today don't take the man's name? They remain with their own name. That's not scripture. When a man and a woman marries, the woman takes the man's name. And she's no longer, my wife was McBurney, but she's not McBurney tonight, she's McKinstra. She's not Sharon McBurney tonight, she's Sharon McKinstra. Because when we came together and she took my name, and Jesus Christ came in his Father's name, he didn't come in the name of an organization, he didn't come in the name of some great movement, but he says, I come in my Father's name. He says, another will come in his own name. Him they will receive. But Jesus came in the Father's name. And we take that name when we receive Jesus Christ. We take his name. The Bible says we're to do all we do in the name of the Lord. Whether it's your work or whether it's at your home, the Bible says whatsoever you put your hand forth to do, do all in the name of the Lord. In other words, give your best. Give your best at your work. Give your best at your home. Give your best at service. Wherever you are, do your best. And do it in the name of the Lord, as of unto the Lord. Amen. Every seed must keep its kind. Now to change that would be to do something God said not to do. When God said a seed, he made it perfect, and now man has tried to inject something to that seed. Look at what man done, hybrid corn, hybrid chickens, hybrid cattle, they crossed everything today, and they tell us it's better. But remember, God's original way is always the best way. Now I could read your quotations here, I don't want to read this too much, but there's a message called there is only one way provided for God for anything. That's a sermon. And William Branham says in there, he says, man is and his intelligence made the corn bigger, and he made someone else bigger, and he said it was better, but you had to spread because the parasites would kill it. But in its original condition, it didn't need spraying. And I told you, I've worked a wee bit in the orchards, way down the country, you know, out there. And I see what they do, because I drive past some mornings. I do maybe help a wee fella now and again. And I pruned a few orchards over the winter time. And there's so many things I learned about the orchards. And you know, here's an interesting thing. I was preaching in a church, I can't remember which, it was Brian Freeborn's church, I think it was. And I was talking about, you know, how they do with the orchard and spray them and all the different things to do them. And I'll tell you, there's a fellow there and he says, that's my job, that's what I do. And I thought it was powerful that I was talking about that. And he said, you're right. And you know, they actually bleach the trees, did you know that? The trees, you know when the tree goes green, they do it with, it's a sort of a bleach, it's the same, what do you call that stuff they used to wash the parlours with? Chloride. Now you know that's strong stuff, isn't it? And they spray the trees with that and it cleans them up a bit. And they spray them trees, they're spraying them now. Before the apples is on them, they're spraying them. And when the apples come on them, they're spraying again. And the fellow was telling me it takes thousands of pounds in chemicals that they're spraying the orchard with today. And if you were driving down the road, now here's the thing, here's an interesting thing. This fellow said to me, when we went in the orchard, he said, you better bring some extra water. And I said, extra water, what for? He says, you'll get thirsty. And I says, what do you mean you get thirsty? And he said, because of the spray, it will make you thirsty. And he was right. It affects you. And I believe it's killing mankind. I believe that. I believe a lot of the problems we have today is because of these sprays and pesticides and all this thing. And see the foods today, there's so many chemicals in foods that wasn't in foods years ago. And there's so many good things in the land for healing. Now, I don't know all about it, but you people that study it, you know what I'm talking about. There's healing seeds and different things you can eat and take that's good for you. And the Bible's a cure for everything. Did you know that? Did you know they had a lie detector test in the Old Testament? Many remember when I preached that. When they put the stuff in the water and things in Moses' time. And I tell you, God still got one today, hasn't he? The Word of God. Amen. Amen. Now, God commanded still stands the same. God's word never changed. Every seed must bring forth its own kind, and if it doesn't, it's hybrid seed with a perverted life. And that's why when a person is born again in the Spirit of God, the life of God comes through them. There's not someone else comes through them. We're not trying to make proselytes to some organization, but what we want is born again children into the kingdom of God. That God's the Father. Not some hybrid thing that can't stand alone by itself. You know what I'm saying? But we want men and women that can stand on their own two feet and serve the Lord. Now look, they did it in the nature and they did it in the church. Mixed it genuine with some man-made doctrine. But it can never reproduce itself because it's man-made. God's word is a seed. Jesus said so. The word of God was a seed that a sower sowed. And it is the only seed that will reproduce eternal life. God's word. We can have church life, home life, natural life. But the only life comes from God's word. Church life won't reproduce a birth. Organization won't reproduce a birth. But only the Word of God can produce a birth. Born again experience. Look at Matthew 13 verse 24 to 30. Matthew 13 verse 24 to 30. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while he slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. Verse 26. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servant of the household came and said unto him, sir, didst not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence then have it tares? And he said unto him, an enemy have done this. The servant said unto him, wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? But he said, nay, lest while ye gather up the tares, ye root up the wheat with them. Let them both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather ye together first the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them. But gather the wheat into my barns. And God is doing his great work today of gathering. He's gathering the tares for the burning, and he's gathering the wheat for the catching up of the rapture. And it's God that's doing it. Do you believe that? God is ultimately doing it. And God's words are seed. In 1 Peter 1:23 it says, being born again, not of corruptible seed. Now if it says, been born again, not of corruptible seed, there is a seed that's corruptible. But we are not born of that corruptible seed. We are born again of an incorruptible seed, but of an incorruptible seed by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. God's word is an incorruptible seed. When a preacher, I don't care where he is, whether it's in an organization. Look, there's good, how many knows there's good men everywhere? How many believes that? William Branham said it. He said you could even get a good person in the Catholic Church. I know yours are quiet, but I don't care any less. It's the truth. There's good people everywhere. And I tell you, you could have a man go to preach anywhere. You send that man to preach, and if he preaches the truth, it'll have an effect. I don't care where it is. If a man got an opportunity to preach in that chapel down the road there, it would have an effect. If a man stood in that field and preached and people gathered around him, it would have an effect because God's word's a seed. And when we sow the true seed, it'll have an effect. And even though the enemy comes in to kill it, those that are deemed to life's going to come. And you know there's people that are deemed to eternal life. Only God knows that, but it is the truth. And God's going to bring people out of everywhere. You believe that tonight? Every single place they're going to come out of. And I thank God for that. 1 John 3:9 says, whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he's born of God. You see, the original sin is dealt with. The price has been paid. We must do the things the way God wants them done, not some other way. And I'm going to close in a moment. I told you I wouldn't keep along tonight. Let me read you this. You can read Matthew 15:3-9. Matthew 15:3-9. But he answered and said unto them, why do ye also transgress the commandments of God by your traditions? For God commanded, saying, honor thy father and thy mother, and he that curseth father and mother, let him die the death. But ye say, whosoever shall say to his father or mother, it is a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, and honor not the father or mother, he shall be free. Thus have ye made the commandment of God, and none effect be your tradition. Tradition kills the word of God. Did you know that? Tradition. Ye hypocrites, ye do well, it is says, prophesy of you, saying, this people draweth unto me with a mouth and honour me with their lips, but the heart is far from me. But in vain did they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. And you're going to have someone that looks Christian. But if it's not based upon the new birth, and if it's not based upon the word of God, it's no good. It can have Christian origins. It's going to start it with good Christian principles. And there's many a movement and there's many a thing today that started off with good principle, Christian principles and good Christian origins. But today, the Christ's not in it. Because man has brought in his interpretation. And the true word of God's been left out. It's not right. But God wants us to have the true word. Now I'm going to read this again. I read this before. I'm reading it again. You can read 1 Timothy 2:5. And a brother Ewell quoted in his prayer, for there's one mediator. There's one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. I wrote this down. I heard a great man of God make this statement and I wrote it down. And I copied it. And I carry it with me. I think this is very simple but very tremendous. Who is a Christian? Many today claim they're Christians. Roman Catholics say we're Christians. Many Protestants say we're Christians. But are they Christians? Well, what do we do? What's the Word of God say about it? God's Word tells us what a Christian is. Now let me read you this, what this great man of God said. A Christian is any person. So no matter if he's Catholic or Protestant. If he follows these principles. And if he does, he'll no longer be Catholic. He'd be a Protestant after that. Amen. Praise God. You know that wee friend of mine, I think they were afraid he was turning Protestant. They run him back in to count the beads. That's right. They never took no interest in him till he asked the Lord to save him. As soon as he done that, they went like a flock round him. They would round him like a flock. And all these different wee meetings that we're having. And to do the rosary beads and all these different things. I thank God the Bible doesn't talk about rosary beads. Listen to this. A Christian is any person, no matter what his colour, class or creed may have been, who believes the record God has given of his Son in the Word of God, accepts the verdict of God upon himself as a sinner, confesses he is lost and hell deserving, makes bare his heart and all his sins to God only, not the priest, asks to be cleansed in the Saviour's precious blood, throwing himself for salvation by faith alone, through grace alone, on Christ alone. Isn't that powerful? Let me read that again. Throwing himself for salvation by faith alone, through grace alone, on Christ alone. The true Christian gladly confesses, I'm only a sinner and nothing at all, but Jesus Christ is my all and all. I tell you, when a man comes to the Lord and acknowledges he's a sinner and acknowledges that there's only one provided way, and that one provided way is not the church, it's the Lord Jesus Christ. The so-called church could be wrong. You see, people think the church is infallible. Did you know that? You see, this is the problem. If you make anything infallible other than this word. The Catholic Church did that. They say the church is infallible. You can read so many things about it that William Branham says when he talked to that priest. He says, Abbot, we believe the church. William Branham says, I believe the Word of God. This book's infallible. The holy, impregnable, unchangeable Word of the living God. This is our absolute. We're not following what the so-called church says or what an organization says, but we are following the Word of God, the seed, and the seed's been sown. Let's stand our feet tonight. The musicians prepare to come. And he's blessed well, praise God. Well, every house bowed while a brother and sister prepare. You're in the service tonight and you would want prayer. Just lift your hand up to the Lord and I'll pray for you. Whatever your need is, you tell the Lord about it. Just while we're in the close of the service. Or someone ever gets a hold of this message. All you have to do is call upon the name of the Lord. And you'll be saved. Thank God it's that simple. Heavenly Father, we do thank and praise you tonight that Jesus Christ was lifted up to draw all men unto him. Lord, we thank you for that dead Calvary. We thank you for the precious Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we would plead the merits of the precious blood of the Lamb over every man, woman and child in this house tonight. We would plead the merits of the precious blood of the Lamb over his sister Carl at the hospital tonight. We ask that the token would go, the Holy Ghost. We plead the blood upon her and the life for the power of the blood. Lord, we say, send your word and heal her this evening in Jesus' precious name. Father, touch your people once again. Revive thy work in the midst of the years. Turn us again, O God, and we shall be saved. Father, we thank you that you've never changed. We thank you that you're the same yesterday, today, and forever. We thank you, Lord, your word doesn't need altered, for it is the truth. It is yea and amen in Christ Jesus. Father, lead us on in yourself. Lead us on with the truth of God. We ask that you'll guide us, our goings out and our comings in. We acknowledge you, and we commit our ways to you. We ask for all that's near and dear to us tonight that's not come in yet. Father, we would pray the Holy Spirit would deal with them. We would pray the Holy Spirit would work upon them. We would pray the blood of Jesus Christ to cover them and keep them safe from all the wiles of the enemy. For we know we're living in an evil day. We're living in the time when you're coming again. The signs are everywhere. Signs are all around us. We've even saw the super sign of the end time. And we look up for our redemption draweth nigh. Bless us now. Part us for your blessing. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless each and every one. Praise God. I forgot to say to Mark this morning for Wednesday night. Is it service Wednesday or we were here? Because there's people. How many want here for Wednesday night? I know that some people go on holidays. Some people are already away. How many's wanting service Wednesday night? Praise God. But we'll come anyway and we'll have prayer meeting. Listen, you know, I'm going to tell you something. The devil wants prayer meeting stopped. I'm telling you, I've noticed it everywhere. All around the world when you travel. People's telling me that there's churches and they don't have prayer meetings. I want to tell you, we need to have prayer meetings. We need to spend time praying. Seeking God. And if we only meet for a prayer meeting and no preaching, it's still a good meeting. Good to meet with the Lord. So you come along Wednesday night and we'll still have our service. And I might say a few things. And we're going to really pray on Wednesday night. And the Lord bless each and every one of you. And have a great holiday. God bless you.